بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم. صبغة الله، ومن أحسن من الله صبغة، ونحن له عابدون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ما تزال قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع: عن عمره فيما أفناه، وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه، وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه، وعن علمه ماذا عمل به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is inherent and intrinsic to the human nature that he desires to plan and prepare for the future. Some have short-term plans, and some have long-term plans. But planning for the future is inherent, inborn and intrinsic, synonymous to our nature. And more than often, in our preparation for tomorrow, we tend to disobey Allah today. We want to build this castle for our children and establish and anchor their future. We disobey Allah today. Some wealth came into Medina from Iraq. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu started distributing the wealth. So a person interjected and he said, لو أبقيت من هذا المال لعدو إن حضر أو نائبة إن نزلت. Oh Umar, why don't you keep your reserves full in case you are ambushed by an enemy tomorrow or you are struck by a tragedy? Don't deplete your resources. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَعْصِيَنَّ اللَّهَ الْيَوْمَ لِغَدٍ. By Allah, I will never disobey Allah today for the sake of tomorrow. وَلَكِنْ أُعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And I will equip myself for an unusual attack from an enemy or a tragedy by compliance to the orders of Allah and by embracing the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only difference between the preparation of tomorrow between a believer and a disbeliever is the tomorrow of a disbeliever ends in this transitory world. So he has a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, a 50-year plan, but it ends. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Allah says their preparation, the pinnacle of their knowledge, ceases at the time of death. And the believer prepares for the real tomorrow, the actual tomorrow. And the real tomorrow begins where the temporary tomorrow ends. The real tomorrow begins, as the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And every day monitor your spiritual accounts and see what are your balances in the real tomorrow. The nation of Thamud belied Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِالنُّذُرِ. They denied and belied all the Anbiya. فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرًا مِنَّا وَاحِدًا نَتَّبِعُهُ. How can we subject ourselves to the teachings of an average mortal? إِنَّا إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ وَسُعُرٍ. That is tantamount to deviation and insanity. أَأُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. Why has he been privileged with prophethood from all of us? بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشِرٌ. He's a blatant liar and he's an arrogant individual. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says, I have delayed this answer to tomorrow. سَيَعْلَمُونَ غَدًا مَنِ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِرُ. Tomorrow, the actual tomorrow, the real tomorrow, the tomorrow of Qiyamah will clear the misconception and bring to the fore who was the innocent ambassador of Allah and who the blatant liar was. In Kanzul Ummal, in Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba, and in Hayatul Sahaba in Kitab al-Mawa'idh, the couplets of Abdullah ibn Kurz radiallahu anhu have been captured. In essence, this was the talk of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he captured in poetic form. He speaks about a dying man who summons three of his siblings. Two out of the siblings, out of the three, were his investments in this temporary world. That was his wealth and his family members. And the third was his good deeds, which was his investment in the real tomorrow and the actual tomorrow. Inni wa ahli walladhi qaddamat yadayya kada'in ilayhi sahbahu thumma qa'ili. Myself and my three siblings, that is my family, my wealth and my good deeds, is like a man on his deathbed calling out to them. لِإِخْوَتِهِ إِذْ هُمْ ثَلَاثَةُ إِخْوَةٍ. Come here, O my three brothers. أَعِينُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ بِيَ الْيَوْمَ نَازِلِ. I'm about to take my last breath and I'm about to die. I desperately need your aid and your assistance. So wealth told the others, you just want to keep a distance, let me first speak. فَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Wealth said, I will first clear my position and explain what I can do for you. أَنَا الصَّاحِبُ الَّذِي أُطِيعُكَ فِيمَا شِئْتَ قَبْلَ التَّزَايُلِ. I am that brother of yours that as long as you breathe in, I can arrange. If you're ill, I can have the best surgeons flown in. I can mobilize, I can have you admitted in the best clinic. Press the button, but you must be breathing, then I can show you my muscle. I can flex my powers, and I can show you what I can do, but you must be breathing. فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَدَّ الْفِرَاقِ. But as death becomes apparent, and I see the scowl and the frown on your forelock, وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ. And I see the shin of one leg enveloping on the other, إِلَى رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ. And you commence your journey. فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَدَّ الْفِرَاقُ فَإِنَّنِي لِمَا بَيْنَنَا مِنْ خُلَّةٍ غَيْرُ وَاصِلِي. Then I must be very honest with you, our relation ends there and it terminates. And then my ownership is transferred into your heirs. You and I have no allegiance from that point. وَعَجِّلْ صَلَاحًا قَبْلَ حَتْفٍ مُعَاجِلٍ. So if you want to exploit me, you want to maximize, you want to capitalize, use me objectively today. In Tanbihul Ghafilin, there is an amazing quotation written that while one of the names of Qiyamah is Hasra, Allah has referred to Qiyamah with different names, Yawm al-Tanad, where there will be mutual proclamations, Yawm al-Taghabun, when there will be failure and victory, Yawm al-Talaq, when there will be mutual meeting, Yawm al-Hasra, when there will be this intense regret, Yawm al-Azifa, which is coming up very close. So three people's regret would be the most severe. One person, رَجُلٌ لَهُ مَمْلُوكٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَوْلَاهُ يَدْخُلُ النَّارُ. A man, to contextualize it, he's an employer, he's a boss, he's got strength, he's got muscle, he's got clout. But in his individual capacity, this man was not obedient to Allah. While he had a dutiful employee, and to use the precise analogy in the text, it was a master and slave. So the employee or the slave was obedient, compliant, diligent, focused to Allah. This boss, this employee had great muscle and authority over him. I would twitch my fingers and he had to come on my beck and call. But when Qiyamah comes, the reality plays out very different. Now you stand individual. You don't stand with any titles. You stripped of all your privileges. إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. You stand as a servant and slave. So Allah will say to the slave, because of your obedience to the employee, you can go to Jannah. With regards to your master, unfortunately he is destined for hell. That would be a very, very painful moment for that master to contend with. A man who I considered of no much significance or merit, who was attending to my simple basic chores, but subhanallah, the degree has changed here in Qiyamah. I have traveled and I continue to travel and I see this and I always reflect over this.
When a person is traveling, he is identified by the boarding pass with which he holds. If you're holding a first class boarding pass, nobody looks at your complexion, nobody looks at the color of your skin, nobody looks at the dialect you speak, nobody looks at how you are attired. You are ushered into the best lounges, you have the best of chauffeurs taking you from one point to another, because for the duration of this flight you've paid the most and you enjoy the greatest perks. On the day of Qiyamah, it would be the boarding pass of piety and taqwa, and nothing else would count in any way. The second person is رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْمَالَ وَمَنَعَ مِنْهُ حُقُوقَ اللَّهِ. A man who amassed wealth, gathered wealth, but he would hoard that wealth. He'd never spend it in the obedience of Allah. Then after he passed away, his heirs inherited this rich legacy and objectively spent the money that the late person had toiled for, thereby earning themselves Jannah through the wealth they inherited, while the man who toiled for that wealth will end up in hell. Can you imagine when this man, the declaration would be said that he would go into Jannah because of generosity? This man will stand up, Allah, but that's my money. That's my sweat. He only inherited it, my Allah. I toiled. That's what the poet said. Abdullah ibn Kur said, وَعَجِّلْ صَلَاحًا قَبْلَ حَتْفٍ مُعَاجِلِ. If you don't want regrets with your wealth, then hasten in dispensing and spending it out in the path of Allah. And the third person, may Allah guide me and may Allah guide one and all, is one who advises and lectures people. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. See the write-up under this ayah, that some people came to their leaders and their priests from the people of the book, and they said, isn't Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the final man? He said, yes, most certainly this is the man, embrace his faith. So he said, okay, if you promote it, you advocate it, you support it, why don't you embrace it yourself? He said, no, I have my own vested interest. But the right thing is follow his teachings. Allah then reproach them, admonish them, chastise them. You promote virtue, yet you lag behind in embracing that virtue. So the third man is one who advocates good. The masses flock to his words. They rehabilitate their lives. They effect the necessary changes. While the lecturer, the mentor himself, doesn't make the correct changes in his life. May Allah save us from those regrets. وَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Then comes the second brother. قَدْ كُنْتُ جِدًّا أُحِبُّهُ وَأُوثِرُهُ مِّنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فِي التَّفَاضُلِ. I will not launch you, O my brother, at the time of death as wealth has forsaken you. غَنَائِي أَنِّي جَاهِدْ لَكَ نَاصِحْ إِذَا جَدَّ جَدُّ الْكَرَبِ غَيْرُ مُقَاتِلِ. When the signs of death will become imminent, your wealth will forsake you. With regards to me, I will be loyal, faithful and diligent. When the signs of death will become apparent, I will inch closer to you. But I must be very honest, I won't ditch you or launch you, but I won't able to take the challenge, I won't able to challenge the angel of death. I'm going to stand right up close to you. The Quran says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Why not? If you claim, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ أَيْ مَجْزِيِّينَ. If you believe that you will not be subjected to retribution and party and indulge and make the best of it, why not when the soul reaches the collarbone? وَأَنْتُمْ. And you family members converge and congregate. تَنْظُرُونَ. And you look helplessly and feeble at this dying person. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ بِعِلْمِنَا. And we are closer to this dying man with our power and our knowledge. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. But you cannot perceive and comprehend. تَرْجِعُونَهَا. If you have strength. And to the young boys, you know, there's this craze of the six-pack. And then it's flex your muscles. And then it's Iron Man and Superman. I said at least I'm Sulaiman. تَرْجِعُونَهَا. Halt the departing soul. تَرْجِعُونَ. Just put it on hold. Wait. Don't remove that soul. تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you have any claims, any merit to that claims, then do it. Absolutely nothing. So what does he say? What do the family members say? We will come up close to you. فَأَمَّا أُحِبُّهُ وَأُوثِرُهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فِي التَّفَاضُلِ. غنائي أني جاهد لك ناصح إذا جد جد الكرب غير مقاتلي. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, the narration is there. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam comes. The narration is very long. This was the maqam and the position of Nabi alayhi salam. Jibreel comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, the angel Ismail is with me and Malakul Maut is also at the door. مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ آدْمِيٍ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ آدْمِيٍ بَعْدَكَ. Jibreel barges, he makes a sudden presence, he abducts and usurps, he abruptly removes the soul, but he's been given the task to politely kneel himself down and seek your consent before entering your presence. O Nabi of Allah, that's you alone. After that he just enters. إِنَّ الْحَبِيبَ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ مُخْتَلَسُوا لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُوا فَكَيْفَ تَفْرَحُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتِهَا مَنْ يُعَدُّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّفْزُ وَالنَّفَسُ قَدْ كَانَ قَصْرُكَ ذَا شَرَفٍ فَقَبْرُكَ فِي الْأَجْدَاثِ مُنْجَدِلُ لَا يَتْرُكُ الْمَوْتُ ذَا جَاهٍ لِعِزَّتِهِ وَلَا الَّذِي مِنْهُ الْعِلْمُ يُقْتَبَسُ لا يمنع الموت بواب ولا حرس. No butler, no doorkeeper, no security can deny the angel of death entrance. He's ushered in. He looks at Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. I've been given the task to remove your soul. If you consent, I will modestly remove it. If you decline, I will back off and respect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam modestly gazes towards Jibreel. And Jibreel realizes the modest gaze was tantamount to consultation. Jibreel says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدِشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. O Nabi of Allah, Allah is looking forward to your return. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then signals the angel of death, and the greatest soul in the annals of history was then removed. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. Allah uses it as a different phrase in removing the souls. Nazi'ati, to remove, to abduct, to take out forcefully. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. And the soul of a believer, unleash it, untie it, release it. Let it freely move out. May Allah make our soul in that condition at the time of death. And for the disbeliever, أخرجوا أنفسكم اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون ولو ترى إذ الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. So anyway, the second brother, that is relatives, he says, I will stand by your side, but when the time of death comes, I will just support you. I will put a loving hand over you. ولكنني باك عليك ومعول. Oh, I will cry. And I will cry in such a way that the world will say that I have been traumatized by the tragic death of my brother, sibling or friend. وَمُعْوِلُ وَمُثْنِمْ بِخَيْرٍ عِنْدَ مَنْ هُوَ سَائِلِي. And whoever comes as mourners and well-wishers will come to offer their condolences at your memorial service. I will laud you. I will lavishly praise you. وَمُثْنِمْ بِخَيْرٍ عِنْدَ مَنْ هُوَ سَائِلِي. وَمُتَّبِعِ الْمَاشِينَ أَمْشِي مُشَيِّعًا. I'm not going to leave you then. I'm going to be active in carrying your corpse and your body. أُعِينُ بِرِفْتِ عَقَبَةَ كُلَّ حَامِلِي. Then, O my beloved, they will inform me of your house in which you will live longer than your stay in this world, which neither you know nor I know. I would be asking him, where's my brother's house? Where's his grave? Where's his abode? Where is my relative, my partner, my child, whatever it is? إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ مَثْوَاكَ الَّذِي أَنْتَ مُدْخَلُ. I would then take you, lower you down, and I must be very honest, as much as I wish to stay there, I'm going to have to politely excuse myself, because since you've become ill, all my issues have been put on hold. My practice hasn't been functioning at optimum. My surgery hasn't been in order. My other chores, my other, you know, commitments all have been put on hold because of how precarious your situation was. It was so sensitive. إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ مَثْوَاكَ الَّذِي أَنْتَ مُدْخَلُ أُرَجِّعُ مَقْرُونًا بِمَا هُوَ شَاغِلِي. Life will move on. Initially I'll feel bad. I'll feel hurt. I won't be able to drive past that cemetery. I'll get emotional. Then will come a time with a smile, I will say, yeah, my late brother's also buried here. Oh, even my brother. Time will move on. كَأَلَّمْ يَكُمْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ خُلَّةٌ. كأن لم يكن بيني وبينك خلة ولا حسن ود مرة في التباذل فذلك أهل المرء ذاك غناؤهم وليسوا وإن كانوا حراسا بطائلي أي بنافعي. This is about all the brothers can do. This is all about the family can do. They mean well, but their abilities are also cut off. That's it. I wish so much. I wish I can do beyond. Never mind anyone else. Zainab Safiya radiyallahu anha, Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab, in the fatal illness of Nabi alayhi salam, when she seen the pain of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, O Nabi of Allah, I wish I could reverse it, that I be in your pain and you be in my comfort, but the pattern and the destiny of life is somewhat different. I wish I could be in your pain. A time will come as if we had no relation. So that's your two investments in terms of this world. In Mishkat Sharif, in the first volume, with reference to Tirmidhi and the Babu Dafni al-Mayyit, there is a narration of Ibn Abi Mulaika. And Ibn Abi Mulaika, the narration is that when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha came to Makkah to perform Hajj, she came to pay her respect at the grave of her brother Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. One was Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. He passed away 40 days after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam when a stray arrow hit him Yawm al-Ta'if. And this was Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. So she wasn't present at the funeral of her brother. When she came to Makkah, he was buried in Makkah. She said, let me just pay my respects. When she paid her respects, she sang amazing couplets. I gave you the reference where I read it. وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَا نَيْجَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَا فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِتُولِجْتِ مَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. This is so profound and so deep, and it's so academic, but I hope I can simplify it. She actually mimicked the couplets of Malik, of Tamim bin Nuwayra. Tamim bin Nuwayra had a brother by the name of Malik bin Nuwayra. He was killed by Khalid radiallahu anhu in the reign and the khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They were inseparable. They were so close that in their proximity, he used to say, وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَا نَيْجَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَا. That we were like the two inseparable ministers of the king Jadhima. But when my brother Malik passed away, then Tamim bin Nuwayra said, time has moved on. We spent childhood memories, we would reminisce, we were together, we grew up, we got married. But after he passed away and life had to move on for me, sometimes I wonder if we ever met in life. Sometimes, I can identify with your boarding life, you with your colleagues and your companions. And this was all, this was life complete. You only seen it through the lenses of those with whom you got up, you studied, you were, you traveled, etc. But as life moved on, blood brothers, I remember as a child I seen a notice that read, twins meet after 32 years. Twins meet after 32 years. So Aisha radiallahu anha sang the same couplets, that myself and my brother were so close, but life moved on, now it feels like did we ever meet. When these two brothers did what they had to say, وَلَيْسُ وَإِن كَانُوا, as much as they wish to aid you, they don't have the teeth to bite. Then comes the third brother, وَقَالَ أَمْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَنَا الْأَخُ لَا تَرَى أَخَلَّكَ مِثْلِي عِنْدَ كَرْبِ الزَّلَازِلِ لَدَى الْقَبْرِ تَلْقَانِي هُنَالِكَ قَاعِدًا أُجَادِلُ عَنْكَ الْقَوْلَ رَجْعَ التَّجَادُلِ. That is your good actions, that is your Quran, that is your spiritual investment, that's your investment for the real tomorrow. What does your good deed say? When others ditch you, launch you, that's the time I get into the actual pit. And I will be there in the grave to deal with all the litigation processes of akhirat. أُجَادِلُ عَنْكَ الْقَوْلَ رَجْعَ التَّجَادُلِ. I will tell the angels, keep an arm's length. You talk to my client from a distance. This is not paraphrasing. These are the words of Abdullah ibn Kurz radiallahu anhu. أُجَادِلُ عَنْكَ الْقَوْلَ رَجْعَ التَّجَادُلِ وَأَقْعُدُ يَوْمَ الْوَزْنِ فِي الْكِفَّةِ الَّتِي تَكُونُ عَلَيْهَا جَاهِدًا فِي التَّثَاقُلِ. When you have a good relation with a man, you said, I will be there, I'll send my person, I'll send my lawyer, and if need be, I will come in person. The angel in the form of good deeds says, when it comes to weighing your actions, I will physically make myself present there to see a swift response in the grave, an easy reckoning, and ultimately you are ushered into the gardens of Jannah. فَلَا تَنْسَنِي وَعْلَمْ مَكَانِي فَإِنِّي عَلَيْكَ شَفِيقٌ نَاصِحٌ غَيْرُ جَذِلِي. If you want to forsake the first two, and I'm not necessarily promoting or advocating that, but don't ever launch me, because I am your amnesty, I am your rescue, not in your old age, not when you're senile, not when you're frail, but when you will disintegrate in your qabr. فَإِنَّنِي عَلَيْكَ شَفِيقٌ نَاصِحٌ غَيْرُ جَاذِلِي فَذَلِكَ مَا قُمْتَ مِنْ كُلِّ صَالِحٍ تُلَاقِيهِ إِنْ أَحْسَنْتَ يَوْمَ التَّوَاصُلِ. So surely these young people and the Honorable Ustad Mufti Sahib and the Hafiz Sahib and the entire institution, this is your investment for the real tomorrow. But I must sound a word of caution here. I must sound a word of caution. While committing the Quran to memory is part of the preparation of tomorrow, the task is far from over. The task is far from over. How many a youth will memorize the Quran, but after becoming huffaz of the Quran, they become more arrogant, more obstinate, more disobedient, and it actually violates the entire essence of committing the Quran. In Ma'rif al-Quran, in the first volume, in the second juz, in Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Fear Allah. Allah speaks about Hajj in detail. And then Allah says, whether you're in Hajj or you're not in Hajj, in essence, fear Allah. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned an incident of a particular disciple who would attend the gatherings of his mentor, and he had a distinct brightness on his forelock. There was this brilliant light that was apparent, and it would attract people to the piety of this man. And then he embarked on Hajj, and when he returned from Hajj, people thought it's just going to take him a notch further, one up in his piety, only to realize that the light, the brightness, the brilliance, the effulgence, the celestial nur that he had disappeared in its entirety. So he went to his mentor and he said, prior to Hajj, when I was, you know, somewhat bad and I was trying to stabilize myself, I had this nur on me. But now that I've returned from Hajj, I thought I would become more closer to my Creator. And on the reverse, I see that the entire nur and light has disappeared. He said, prior to you completing the Quran, or prior to you going on Hajj, you had a sense of guilt in you that you were a sinner. And now you have an edge and a sense of pride that you're a hafiz and you're a pilgrim. And that has snatched the light. Hakim has made mention of a narration. Ibn Hajar has also recorded it in his Al-Isaba. Aisha radiallahu anha reports it. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nimtu, I went to sleep. Fara'aytuni fil Jannah, I seen myself in Jannah. فَإِذَا أَنَا suddenly سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ قَارِئٍ يَقْرَى. I'm in Jannah. This is the dream of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's real. I'm in Jannah and I'm hearing somebody reciting Quran. I asked the Malaika, who's this? They said, this is your companion, your Sahabi, Haritha bin Nu'man. We have privileged him that he reads in Medina, but his tilawat is heard in the heavens. Why, oh the Malaika? Because he is a very kind, dutiful, obedient son to his mother. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرُّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. So this is part of the investment. When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu passed away, Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i seen him in a dream. Auf ibn Malik. What did he see? He seen, رَأَى عَوْفُ بْنُ مَالِكِ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّائِمِ مَرْجًا أَخْضَرٌ. This beautiful landscape, lushful gardens, green meadow. فِيهِ قُبَّةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. This is the dream of a Sahabi. Today I find this very strange, and I'm not I'm not saying it in a condescending context. Surely a great dream is a basharat, it's a glad tidings. But we also need to see who's seen the dream. We cannot exclude that from the equation. I know of a man, his parents are displeased with him, or there are other issues in his life, and he's relying on a friend that had one dream that he's in Jannah. Sahaba had explicit, categoric, glad tidings on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they feared the worst consequences for themselves. They would not slip into a comfort zone. So as much as it is glad tidings, we cannot, we got to take it with a pinch of salt. This was the vision and the dream of a Sahabi. Marjan akhdar, qubbatun azeema, there's a dome-like structure. Hawlahu ghanamun rabida, there is some sheep, you know, grazing in the neighborhood. Beautiful, breathtaking, mind-boggling. So Awf ibn Malik said, I was so intrigued, it was so amazing. I asked the malaika, who enjoys all this here? People, in our travels, you've seen people show you homes on the banks of a river. It is a millionaire's acre, million pounds, dollars, and what. But the real is the investment of Akhirah. The real is the abode of Akhirah. The abode of this dunya, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was asked, I'm going to read the Arabic words and I'll move on because I don't have time to translate it. Person erects a beautiful building and then he calls Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, what do you have to say about this place? He says, هَذَا سُرُورٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ غُرُورٌ وَنَعِيمٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ عَدِيمٌ وَمُلْكٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ هُلْكٌ وَفَرَحٌ لَوْ لَمْ يَعْقِبْهُ تَرَحٌ وَلَذَّاتٌ لَوْ لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِآفَاتٍ وَكَرَامَةٌ لَوْ صَحِبَتْهَا سَلَامًا. Wow! If you know it, you'll appreciate it. In essence, moving on, he says, I asked the malaika, who's this? This, he said, this belongs to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. فَطَلَعَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنَ الْقُبَّةِ. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu comes out of this dome. And he says, هَذَا مَا أَعْطَانَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Oh, Awf ibn Malik, this is how Allah rewarded me for my service to Qur'an. But do me a favor, it doesn't end here, you just want to keep on walking. وَلَوْ سَلَكْتَ هَذِهِ الثَّنِيَّةِ لَرَأَيْتَ مَا لَمْ تَرَ عَيْنُكَ. Move ahead and you'll be blown away. You'll be riveted. You'll be spellbound. You will be mesmerized by the palatial abodes of paradise. I move on and subhanAllah, I see this palatial, beautiful abodes and great, great homes and palaces. I ask the malaika, who is this? To who does this belong? They say, this belongs to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَدْفَعَ عَنْهُ الدُّنْيَا بِالرَّاحَتَيْنِ وَالصَّدْرِ. Because of his generosity, this is what Allah had given him. So the investment is the real investment of tomorrow. Memorizing the Quran is a stepping stone in that direction. But if a young man is gripped in phone and technology, and he imbibes the Quran and the fundamentals of deen, I'm not talking only of Farz Salah, how often we've seen that many a Huffaz would not be particular with the Jummah Salah. A young man comes to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, and he drops him a note. سَلِلْ مُفْتِيَ الْمَكِّيَ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ سَلِلْ مُفْتِيَ الْمَكِّيَ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَصْنَعُ. Ask Imam Shafi, if a young man is gripped in the love of a girl and he's plagued in her fantasy and is infatuated over her, how must he deal with it? It's a real issue. سَلِلْ مُفْتِيَ الْمَكِّيَ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَصْنَعُ. The other day a sister phoned me. I said, I'm busy. She said, I need to talk to you urgently. I said, what's happening? My son is studying in school. He's 15 years old. He said he found a partner of his life. He wants to settle down. I'm like, wow. Wow. They say, whatever you want to do in life, do it as a bachelor. Because after marriage, you can't even change the TV channel without your wife's permission. Someone said, you know what I did before I got married? So I said, no. He said, anything I wanted. 15 years, my brother, purely if you have reached that level of maturity and understanding, then good luck, good luck. But do you understand what it entails? Do you appreciate the dynamics of marriage? إِذَا اشْتَدَّ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ. You're holding the Quran in one hand and you are gripped and plagued and paralyzed by this malady and this evil. Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ تَتْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. Every day when the sun rises, a fresh battle is fought on the heart and the bosom of every student of deen. عِلْمُهُ وَهَوَى. Knowledge and succumbing to his temptations. فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَاهُ. If he suppresses his evil and truth and compliance reigns supreme, then that is his day of graduation, even if he didn't complete the Quran. وَإِذَا غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ عِلْمَهُ. And if you succumb to your lust and your desires and your base desires, then by Allah it is a failure even the day of your graduation. Allah gave three advices to Sayyidina Dawood in the Quran amongst others. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard, fahkum baynan nasi bil haq, wa la tattabi'il hawa. Do not succumb to the provocation of your ego. Fayudillaka an sabilillah. Your entire empire will come crumbling. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, these were great people. Imam Shafi said, I stayed with a lot of people and I met many scholars and mentors. I can summarize my whole life in two words. Subhanallah. I can summarize comprehensive. Sahibtu sufiyya falam antafi' minhum illa bikalimatayn. Narrow it down to two words. Number one, al-waqtu sayfun qata'tahu aw qata'ak. Time is a sword. Either you cut it or it cuts you. Either you bite it or it bites you. Either you exploit it or it exploits you. And then comes your ego. شَغَلْتَهَا بِالْحَقِّ أَوْ شَغَلَتْكَ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Either you're going to open the Quran and read Quran, or then you would peruse the net and see some unsavory material. But you would have no other choice. Either you engage it or it engages you. So Imam Shafi said, tell this young boy, he must do two things. يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ. He must treat his malady and he must conceal his fantasy. وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْضَعُ. And life is about sabr. Life is about persevering. Hang on. Just take it easy. There's nothing else you can do. A youngster had once come to me. He says, I've got 3 weeks time. I'm getting married. But I promise you, this 3 weeks are dragging. The sun is not rising. It's not setting. I'm like, go slow, my brother. Take it easy. He says, no, I need you to perform this nikah. I said, no ways I'm going to do this. I didn't need to embroil myself. You know, Abu Hazim, somebody asked him, Man ahmaqun nas? Who's the most foolish person? He said, the one who sells his akhirat to secure this dunya. He's foolish. But more foolish than him is the one who sells his akhirat to secure someone else's dunya. رَجُلٌ بَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِدُنْيَا غَيْرِهِ. I said, I must tarnish myself, soil my name, jeopardize my reputation, blemish my character, so that you can, you know, have this party. But anyway, 3 weeks finally passes, and he gets married. And in 2 weeks' time, he comes back to me with a greater passion to divorce the same girl. I said, but 3 weeks ago, you were restless, you were erratic, you were uneasy. And now in 2 weeks' time, the passion is overwhelming. No, I cannot handle this woman for a second more. Yudawi hawahu. Tell him he must treat his malady. Yaktumu sirrahu. He must conceal his fantasy. وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْدَعُ. And persevere. Life is all about tolerance. A young man, adrenaline pumping. You can talk to me and I would agree. And even if I didn't understand, I'll go back and say, what was the Ustad saying? But not a young man of today. So he retorts, كَيْفَ يَصْبِرْ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى. كَيْفَ يَصْبِرْ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى. How do you expect me to persevere when I'm dying in the fantasy of this woman? وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ غُصَّةٌ يَتَجَرَّعُ. And every day I have to swallow this bitter gulp of separation from her. So Imam Shafi said, فَإِذَا هُوَ لَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. I'm going to paraphrase this and say to you, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, persevere one day and crush that fantasy that is in you. Otherwise, succumb to it and it will crush you for the rest of your life. Kill it one day and you will live, or surrender to it and you will be a victim of it till the day you die. So the real investment is tomorrow, my brother. But taking Quran, it has to go forward. Qadi Shuraih, rahmatullah alayh, a great person. And I've been saying it in my humble talks, and I would seize the opportunity. Read Quran and Sunnah. Read our history. It hurts me, it pains me, it kills me, it galls me to see the level of extended ignorance in the ummah. And we are complacent about our ignorance. And please, I must be very clear, I have no knowledge. I'm not saying I have knowledge, that's not what I'm getting. But I'm saying we need to be reading constantly. So, Qadi Shuraih rahmatullah alayhi sends his young boy. He was a great tabi, Qadi Shuraih. He sends him for salah. For a typical young boy, and if it could happen back in those days, can you imagine the temptation that grips us today? The boy gets involved with some friends, and there's some show and recreation and activity that is taking place there. He doesn't attend his regular classes, he doesn't read his Quran, and his prayer is neglected. So the father calls him, "Have you offered your prayer?" "No, I haven't offered my prayer." And this is again a father, and if only the youth of today can understand the passion and the desire that the parents have in molding. We're not trying to get under your skin. We're not trying to deny you your freedom. We're not trying to restrain you. But it's a vicious world out there. It's a sick world out there. And really, I've been here slightly longer in the world than you, oh my young boy. So I'm only trying to inoculate and insulate you against the viruses that are there. So Imam Qadi Shuraih writes a note to his ustad. This is a mentor and a father. Concern and admonition at the same time. تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ لِأَكْلُبٍ يَسْعَى لَهَا يَبْغِي الْهِرَاشَ مَعَ الْغُوَاتِ الرُّجَّسِ فَلَيَأْتِيَنَّكَ غُدْوَةً بِصَحِيفَةٍ كُتِبَتْ لَهُ كَصَحِيفَةِ الْمُتَلَمِّسِ فَإِذَا أَتَاكَ فَدَاوِهِ بِمَلَامَةٍ أَوْ عِظْهُ مَوْعِظَةَ الْأَدِيبِ الْكَيِّسِ وَإِذَا هَمَمْتَ بِضَرْبِهِ فَبِدِرَّةٍ وَإِذَا بَلَغْتَ ثَلَاثَةً لَكَ فَحْبِسِي وَاعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ مَا أَتَيْتُهُ فَنَفْسُهُ مَعَ مَا يُجَرِّعُنِي أَعَزُّ الْأَنفُسِ. Oh my Allah, this is pain of a father coming out. He writes a note to his teacher. He says, تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ. This boy has the Quran in his heart, but he's busy chatting on some haram chat rooms. He's busy seeing some activity. He's busy playing some games. When I travel, I get amazed how adults can sit and play games. I mean, like, no. If nothing else, read the paper, the correct section. And the guy is riveted, and he's getting personal, consumed. تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ لِأَكْلُبٍ يَسْعَى لَهَا. He could abandon his parents and prayer for some recreation and entertainment. يَبْغِي الْهِرَاشَ مَعَ الْغُوَاتِ الرُّجَّسِ. Unfortunately, he has fallen prey to some evil company. فَلَيَأْتِيَنَّكَ غُدْوَةً بِصَحِيفَةٍ. He will come to you tomorrow with a note. كُتِبَتْ لَهُ كَصَحِيفَةِ الْمُتَلَمِّسِ. It has a bit of bad omen and it doesn't carry much good news in it. فَإِذَا أَتَاكَ, when he comes, فَدَاوِهِ بِمَلَامَةٍ, then admonish him. أَوْ عِذْهُ مَوْعِظَةَ الْأَدِيبِ الْكَيِّسِ. Clip his wings and prune those stray shrubs that are in him. وَإِذَا هَمَمْتَ بِضَرْبِهِ, and if the call is to spank him, then go for it, but be moderate in the way you deal with him. As much as he has offended me, I love him the most. Bazzar makes mention of a narration. Raja bin Rabi'a rahmatullah alayhi says, we were sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With us was Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, and just then Hazrat Hassan ibn Ali passed by. So when Hassan radiyallahu anhu passed by, now Hassan radiyallahu anhu, the grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and you know the richness and the amazing character of these two young boys. So he said, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah." So Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu responded and modestly replied, reciprocated, "Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." After Hassan radiallahu anhu went slightly forward, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَحَبِّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Can I tell you people something? I'm going to share with you today that person who is the most beloved occupant on Mother Earth to Allah. أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَحَبِّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. قُلْنَا بَلَىٰ. We said, please tell us. And this was the passion of Sahaba. Not Miss World, not Miss Africa, or Miss India, or who is that man of Jannat? And that was the Nabi of Man Sarrahu. Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wants to see Miss Paradise, you want to see a woman of Jannah? Then look at this woman. هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ السَّوْدَىٰ أَتَتِ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This dark-skinned woman, who doesn't have much social standing, but she is Miss Paradise, confirmed on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anybody wants to see a woman of Jannah walking on this earth? Look at Umm Ayman. Her name was Barakat. Read her history, you would be amazed who this woman was. So do you want to know which man is most beloved? This is Hassan radiallahu anhu. Then Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَلَّمَنِي وَلَا كَلَّمْتُهُ مُنْذُ لَيَالِي صِفِّي. Tragically, myself and him had some differences. It's been a very long time and we haven't really exchanged any words back from the very battle of Siffin. وَلَأَنْ يَرْضَ عَنِّي. And if somebody can facilitate and reconcile this relation between Abdullah ibn Amr and Hassan radiallahu anhu, I will be ever indebted to this man. So, Sahaba were humans. They were social creatures. They had human interaction. Hence, skirmishes, altercations existed. But look at the purity of their hearts. Look at the cleanliness of their nature. We want to isolate our deductions from their rich legacy. And we are living in challenging times, my brothers. Allah forbid. I remember in the early years when you traveled abroad, and then you heard of a person that, you know what, he entered Islam. So you're about to rejoice, and he says, no, no, Shaykh, but you know what, that's a deviant sect. He hasn't entered mainstream Islam. And I said, okay, that's foreign language to me. Back home in South Africa, we don't have these challenges. But tragically, I have to swallow those words. These fitnas have hit our shores. Those fitnas have hit our shores. And we're dealing with critical issues. That if you're coming out of darkness, have you come into fake light or actual light? And one important thing we need to know, Allah will tolerate, and not that I promote that, deficiency in your performance and your actions, but there will be no toleration for deficiency in your aqaid and your belief system. Your belief needs to be sound. The rank, the status, the maqam of sahaba needs to be understood. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about people who sit in a noble gathering, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this amongst other things. It just comes in my mind, so I'm mentioning it. La yaslaha illa al-ashqa. Somewhere under that ayah in Ma'riful Quran is mentioned it. So the Nabi of Allah said, when a noble gathering takes place, then those who objectively attend are blessed and pardoned by the sanctity of that gathering. But an innocent wayfarer and a man who passes by and is attracted and he also sits in that gathering, he's not denied the virtue of that gathering. Humul qawm la yushqa jalisuhum. That's a rich gathering. No person participating is left deprived. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi pauses at this juncture and he says, the Nabi of Allah says, any gathering in which dini activities take place, a passerby is included in the merit of that gathering. How can you then argue and say those that thronged and gathered around Nabi alayhi salam were deprived of his goodness? How can a man ever who sat and drank direct from the fountain of Nabi alayhi salam? So look at the beauty of Sahaba. When Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr said, I wish I can reconcile this relation. So Abu Sa'id Khudri said, أَلَا نَنْتَلِقْ فَنَعْتَذِرْ. Okay, then let's just go now and I will try and usher you in. I will mediate and I'll facilitate. Now I would say to you, you know, I'm not speaking to this brother. Make dua, inshallah, I want to speak to him. No, no, come, let's go. No, no, inshallah, one day when you go for Hajj, you know what I mean? and I intend to change my life, and I just meet him at a Kaaba in a casual way, we just give him a hug and we ask for maaf. Because I'm not committed to it. I'm not genuine about it. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ Allah says, whatever you need to do, do it now. Because Allah could bar you from the execution of that intention tomorrow. Either ability would not come your way, or the opportunity will not come your way, or the man would not live. What you need to do, do it now, my brother. Do it now. Ala nantalik, let's go. Fana'tadir. And I will stand and apologize. He said, okay, let's go. Now can you imagine, there's this extended gap and gulf. There's this interval. How do you bridge the gap? How do you foster the relation? How do you meet? The first meeting is so difficult. Never mind anyone else. Husband and wife, you know how it is. After 2-3 days and it's dark and doom and gloom, then you want to make a joke via your son. And gradually you try and inch forward, and then afterward it's all, you know, hunky-dory. Sahaba were clean. They were pure. قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ أي وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَصَنِّعِينَ Say unto them, I don't ask for any compensation, remuneration for my activities. And I am honest and candid. I am not fake and hypocritical. So anyway, they get to the house of Hasan radiallahu anhu, Abu Sa'id Khudri, fasta'adhan, can I come in? He says, yes, come in. I also have a guest with me, O Hasan radiallahu anhu. If you would allow me, can I bring him in? Who is that? That is Abdullah ibn Amr. Okay, bring him in, bring him in. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu walked in. Two giants, two august personalities, two legends, two great luminaries. They had their differences, but their hearts were clean. Wallah, in their differences, their hearts were cleaner than our clean hearts in our unity. When we are united, our hearts are not so clean. Because it's a supposed unity. But when the crunch time comes, then we realize how united we are. Now, how do you start the relation? Subhanallah, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu nudges Abdullah ibn Amr, hadithna billadhi haddathana haythu marra al-Hasan. Oh Abdullah, you were saying something when Hasan radiallahu anhu passed by, you were lauding the man, you just want to remind me what you said? He said, yeah, basically I said, innahu ahabbu ahli al-ardi ila ahli al-sama. I'm not shy to repeat what I said. I said, this man is the most beloved to Allah on the entire earth. That immediately provoked the question and asked the question, فَلِمَ قَاتَلْتَنَا يَوْمَ سِفِّينَ That if you truly believe that I am the noblest of the inhabitants on planet earth, on mother earth, then why did you take up arms for me and my family in the battle of Siffin? So subhanallah, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, the reality is no justification and I don't condone what I did, but I will just give you the explanation of my events. He said, لَكِنْ عَمْرًا شَكَانِي And this is the reason why I brought this incident into the equation. He said, actually my dad had lodged a complaint to the Nabi of Allah. I read the narration is in Hayatul Sahaba, but I've given it the reference of Bazaar. My dad had lodged a complaint to the Nabi of Allah and that had sparked my participation in Siffin. Okay, walk me through the events. Oh, what a complaint. I wish I can hear these complaints. I know it sounds paradoxical, but really this is amazing. My dad had lodged a complaint to the Nabi of Allah. Oh Nabi of Allah, I need to talk to you. I've got a problem with my son. My phone rings. I walk into a masjid and every scholar, I am an ordinary person, I need to talk to you. And I wear the cap of a teenage father like any other father might be wearing. So I'm in no better situation than anyone. We're grappling, we're battling, we walk in, we fall in, we're trying to reach our youth and we try to bring them on board. Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ I foresee such a bleak era. La yanju ahad, none would be rescued from the turmoil and the turbulence of that time. Illa man yad'uka du'a'il al-ghariq, but the one who desperately calls out to Allah like how a drowning man is begging to reach the shore. When a man is drowning, he doesn't wave his hand, okay, you buzz, he's alright, never mind, I'm going down. No, he's gasping for breath, he's yelling to his top, he's screaming to his optimum, Maybe somebody takes him to the shore. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا فُطَنَا طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا نَظَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَطَنَا جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفُنَا. So the challenges are really, really critical. But O Nabi of Allah, I have a complaint about my son Abdullah. What a complaint. So the Nabi of Allah says, okay, Amr ibn As, come speak to me. Abdullah is giving the sequence of events that prompted his participation. My son Abdullah, inna Abdullah yasumu al-nahar wa yaqumu al-layl. These are the words. Amran shakani. What was the complaint of the father of the youngster once upon a time? And what was the complaint, or what is the complaint of the father of today? O Nabi of Allah, my complaint of my son is, whenever I see him, he is riveted to his Mus'haf and his Qur'an. O Nabi of Allah, whenever I go to see him at night, he's never sleeping. You need to sit him down and tell him, he needs to take care of his well-being. He needs a break and a gap and a gap and an interval. He cannot carry on performing Qur'an and offering salah non-stop. Those were our glory days when the youth made news like this. So the Nabi of Allah called me and he said, Sum wa aftir wa salli wa nam. Listen to your dad. You need a balance, a fine balance, moderation. Get this act together. You need to strike it. This is the correctness. Wa kadhalika ja'alnakum ummatan wasata. We've blessed you with moderation and we've kept that balance in you. Ati' amran. And make sure whatever your dad say, apply your mind and listen to him attentively. So those words of the Nabi of Allah stuck in my ears. Ati' amran. Listen to my dad. Came the barrel of Siffin. My dad looked at me and he said, Abdullah, you will join me. I was almost to decline and disapprove and excuse myself. But I found myself nudging and knocking against the words of Nabi alayhi salam, Ati' amran. Listen to the Nabi of Allah. So I said, this is a dichotomy. I don't know how to reconcile between this. But my Nabi said, obey, so I will obey. But look at the youth of that time. My time is up and I know people are worried that I overstep. I will behave and end shortly, inshallah. What is it? What was the youth of that time? He said, I got into the barrel of Siffin because Islam teaches me to obey my father. But I equally understood the party on the other side was the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi ma kathartu lahum sawada, wala ramaytu bi sahmin, wala ta'antu bi rumhin, wala akhtaratu lahum saifa. By Allah, I was a dummy on the battlefield. I only showed my father my presence. I would never dare release an arrow to you, O Hassan. I would never dare unsheath a sword in your direction. May the world split if I ever have to release a spear towards you. I only stood there in compliance to the sentiments of the Nabi of Allah, obey my father. When Sayyidina Hassan heard this, قَبِلَ عُذْرَهُ, he said, you are excused. And there was this unity and reconciliation that took place. I leave you with the last words. This is mentioned in Tafsir Samarqandi, that Allah has given you the great Quran, my young boy. You can read it and reference it there in the third juz. وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever's been blessed with hikmat, he's been given a lot of knowledge. Now unpack what is hikmat. Commonly translated as wisdom. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, hikmat means nabuwat, prophethood. Then Kalbi rahmatullah alayhi says, it means fiqh, jurisprudence. Muqatil rahmatullah alayhi says, it is ilmul Qur'an, the sciences of Qur'an. Then the quotation is mentioned there, man u'tiya ilmul Qur'an, if Allah has imbibed the Qur'an in your bosom, then before Allah gives you any respect, it's about time you respect yourself. Yambaghi an ya'rifa nafsahu. Understand who you are. وَلَا يَتَوَاضَعْ لِأَصْحَابِ الدُّنْيَا لِأَجْلِ دُنْيَاهُمْ لِأَنَّمَا أُعْطِيَ أَفْضَلْ مِمَّا أُعْطُوا لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمَّ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعًا قَلِيلٌ وَسَمَّ الْعِلْمَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرٌ. Because what Allah has given you, it's an insult to compare it to anything else. Allah has given you wisdom, which Allah refers to good in abundance. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Kawthar, commonly translated as the pond, In Al-Bahr Al-Muhit, there are 26 opinions dissecting the meaning of Kawthar, and the common translation given is Khayrun Kathir, good in abundance. Allah has given you good in abundance. La yatawada li ashabid dunya li ajli dunyahum. You cannot flash your eyes. You cannot let water enter your mouth for anything of this world, because you carry within you something far greater than anything and everything. Why? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمَّ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعًا قَلِيلٌ. Allah has referred to this world as trivial, as minute and insignificant. وَسَمَّ الْعِلْمَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرٌ. And Allah has referred to the knowledge that He has given you a great favor and a great boon. I'll leave you with the last quotation. They say, our life is like a coin. You can spend it in any direction you want, but you can only spend it once. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا.